The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories Project collects stories from residents who lived in the neighborhoods that were removed by the construction of the Innerbelt Freeway in Akron. This project is part of the City of Akron's efforts to transform the decommissioned section of the Innerbelt Freeway and to document a part of Akron's history that has been largely missing to date. I'm Roger Riddle. In this segment, we hear from Malcolm Costa. He shares stories about his parents, tells us about his time working at his father's barbershop as a kid, and remembers his time as a small business owner in the neighborhood.
My name is Malcolm Costa. I've been fortunate to serve as the president and CEO of Community Action Akron Summit. And I've been there on that particular job for the last 46 years. I'm a lifetime resident of Akron, particularly West Akron and the area of the Innerbelt, from growing up to school to work. I've been consistently connected to that neighborhood. There are about four locations that I can relate to. One was the family home on Bellevue Avenue, which would have been between Worcester and Euclid. The second would be my father's barbershop. And then I once worked for the Akron Urban League. Then also I owned and operated a business for a relatively short time at the intersection of Bell Street and Worcester Avenue. So those were the locations that I'm, I guess, intimately familiar with in that area. We moved there in 1949 when I was just a couple of years old. And the neighborhood at that time was mostly white. You know, we got along, you know. We had a very, really nice neighborhood. People, you know, got along and we played kids and so forth. But the neighborhood changed over the next maybe 6-7 years. When I went to school, the school that we went to was Krause Elementary School. It had been, you know, there was a lot of Jewish kids and there were businesses kind of in that general area that were Jewish businesses and so forth. So, and it gradually changed, became pretty much African-American, black. You know, we would play in the street and, I mean, it was just very, you know, carefree and just a lot of fun and really not any apprehension, you know, about it, you know. So I did, you know, did all kinds of things. I was a paper boy for a few years. My parents were not overly protective, so, you know, we didn't have any, you can't go here, you can't go there. I mean, they wanted us to be, especially my dad, wanted us to be kind of independent.
Mr. Costa's parents were full of personality and just the type of people who would fit in perfectly in a bustling neighborhood like this one. His father was an entrepreneur, and his mother was British and had navigated a challenging start to life to become a nurse and raise a family.
My mother's name was May Collins Costa. Actually, my father, he was a veteran, and when he came back from the service, he had met her in England, and she was mixed race. She grew up in an orphanage like all her life until she was like 18, because nobody wanted to adopt her because she was of color. She was there, you know, all her life until she ended up going to nursing school. She wanted to leave England because of the way that she felt about it. And so she ended up going to Canada. And that's where she reunited with my dad. My father's name was Jack W. Costa. My dad always had a truck. He worked the plant. He had the barbershop and he had a truck and he hauled stuff and he repaired watches. You know, so I learned how to repair watches. I worked on the truck, of course, you know, hauling stuff. And the name of his barbershop was Jack's Barbershop. We had a large family. seven children, and I was the oldest. And so I had my time at the barbershop, shining shoes and, you know, being there. And then my brothers and sisters, all of them had their time there, and I did other things. But I remember actually when he first opened the shop in the early 50s, about 52, I swept the floor, I shined shoes, and, you know, cleaned up and those kinds of things. The barbershop also, when we opened it, it was connected to a bar, and the bar was like a lot of fun for me as a young kid, because they also served food. So it wasn't like drinking or anything, but they served food, and it was very good. You know, barbecue, shrimp, and, you know, some other things. So one of my chores, I suppose, was to pick up lunch for my dad. We first got there, especially for a long time, it was like Disneyland, because all of the businesses that were there, fish market, grocery stores, other barber shops, shoe repair, Saferstein's record shops, bakeries. And it was just like, it was a mecca for about four blocks, hardware stores, post office, insurance, and everything. So it was just so much fun just walking down the street. You know, it would take me like maybe an hour and a half or so to bring back what I was supposed to be getting, because I was watching, you know, the excitement on Wooster Avenue.
Like many others who lived in this neighborhood, Mr. Costa remembers having very close relationships with the neighbors who lived on his street. He also remembers having some of his earliest moments as an entrepreneur selling to those same neighbors.
More as time went on and the neighborhood changed, the next door neighbors were the Spencers. And my dad was always working. So our next door neighbor, like, he taught me how to golf, play chess, you know, just very caring. The girl across the street, when I was like a teenager, she was my girlfriend. We knew everybody, being long-term, you know, residents, you know, having the paper route, doing things like shoveling snow in the wintertime. My dad, you probably figured out that he was focused very much on work, so we started working very early. One thing, he had us selling vegetables, like about six, seven. We were selling vegetables door to door on our street. I didn't really love that. It was a little, you know, uncomfortable, but no, I did that. And there was a lot of kids in the neighborhood, and we played, and I had a lot of freedom, you know, as long as I didn't get in any trouble. You know, so it was just really cool.
A few of the most respected members of the neighborhood were police officers who lived in the community.
There was a policeman that lived up the street, and there was another one who lived the street over. One was white and one was black. The policeman who was the block over was Nathan Martin. He was one of the first African Americans, I think, on the police department. And then actually, then there was another on Euclid Avenue, which was two streets over. His name was Joe Thomas. He was one of the first black policemen on the Akron police force. And he was legend, because he made the force. And also at that time, you know, the black policemen were assigned to black areas, primarily Howard Street. You know, there were several others that were kind of well known, but Joe Thomas was one, was really very, very prominent.
After he became an adult, Mr. Costa leaned on the entrepreneurial spirit that was fostered in him from a very young age and was able to open his own business in the heart of the neighborhood's business district on Wooster Avenue.
Well, the name of the business was Tiki Shop West. It was in late 60s. So it was a time of idealism and reawakening. We sold dashikis, incense, you know, newspapers, you know, like underground newspapers, you know, those kinds of things. It had been an insurance agency, Mitchell's insurance agency, but they had moved. So we rented the space from them. And then there was another store that was connected. It was a beauty and barber supply store. We both opened at the same time, like late 68 or 69. And we both got robbed at the same time because we didn't have insurance, of course. And the first day we opened, we didn't know it, but there was a door from the basement leading up to both businesses. And so somebody, they came up there and robbed. We weren't there. I didn't, not at gunpoint or anything, but during the night, they stole items that we had. That was quite memorable. And the business didn't last too long.
That incident didn't stop Mr. Costa's commitment to the neighborhood. He would later work for the Urban League, which was located along Wooster Avenue. He also led Akron's Model Cities program, which was started by President Lyndon Johnson in 1966. We'll hear more about that in the Interbelt Construction segment with Mr. Malcolm Costa. The Interbelt Neighborhood Stories are produced by me, Roger Riddle. Our executive producers are Liz Akbu of Studio O and the City of Akron. Our music is by Flaco Torres, with additional sounds by Become Stardust. Special thanks to Summer Hall, Fred Wheat, Dylan Garitano, Mike Meyer, and the Ohio and Erie Canalway Coalition. And a very special thank you to the Reconnecting Our Community Advisory Committee.